sackcloth underoos.
Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. Hey, Max.
Hey, Dorian.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a float like a few minutes ago with you on my porch.
Yeah, you. I came up to your porch and you offered me a float, an ice cream float.
Yeah.
And a beer and a cigarette.
Yeah.
And a beer float, which sounded repulsive to me. Well, it was you and your fiance offered those things to me.
I have root beer, but I also have orange cream soda. And really, the orange cream soda is like the prime float.
The superior choice,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's really good.
Absolutely.
Root beer's fine.
I agree.
So I'm doing great. I'm all sugared up. I'm all randy. Contorting myself over here.
Doesn't randy usually mean horny?
Yeah, but like when you eat a lot of sugar, sometimes it's just like fidgety.
Okay.
And I think that's...
Sometimes when I eat candy, I get a little horny.
It's not like you can't go the other way.
Sometimes when I get horny, I eat a little candy.
If you're wondering why this intro is so loose, it's because I'm distracted by Dorian's shorts.
Oh, yeah. They're from Chubbies, like most of my shorts. Sorry, am I showing a little too much thigh? Is that why you're getting randy?
I think that's it. Dorian's got like 3/4 of his thighs showing. And I'm envious because my house is kind of warm.
Oh.
And I'm wearing jeans. I don't know.
Well, that's your own fault.
It is.
Why aren't you wearing shorts?
Shorts, like, right...
You're probably looking at shorts right now. Well, it's too late for that. We have a podcast to record.
Shorts back over there.
Yeah. Oh, they might as well be in the trash can because you're not putting them on. You've got a job to do. You have to teach me about something death-related today.
I do.
What do you have for us?
So you're wearing these tiny shorts... Because we are getting close to summer here in Ohio.
No doubt. Sky's out.
It's very warm. Were you going to say sky's out, thighs out?
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Got to show my gams.
Almost like it's some kind of jungle out here.
Hey.
That's a little hint as to what we're going to be talking about today. So, Dorian, let's take a little trip to the Amazon rainforest and talk about shrunken heads.
Very stoked for this one.
It's going to be very fun. But since it's going to be pretty hot down in the Amazon, we got to hydrate first. With the Pre-Dead Boys cracking to the topic moment, brought to you today by LaCroix. It's in a tailspin.
Yeah, they're not doing so well.
I like peach pear.
It's almost like LaCroix kind of fucked up when they turned down our offer to sponsor our podcast.
And had our legions of fans boycotting them now?
Yep, that's right. You guys are boycotting them, right? Keep it up.
A bunch of people who like live in countries where you can't get LaCroix are just like, all right.
Yeah, I'll keep not buying it.
So, Dorian, have you ever seen a shrunken head in real life?
Actually, yes. Well, I think it was a real... shrunken head.
Oh, we're going to get into that.
Yeah, it was at the Oddities Expo, and
it was
like the Ripley's Believe It or Not section. So I don't know how reputable it is, but there were 3 shrunken heads, allegedly.
Were they in like cases?
Yes.
That's cool.
They were until I took them out and stole them. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Please don't arrest me. I did not steal them.
Was the expo cool?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I saw a lot of really cool curiosity shops. There was I got some stuff from 918 Curiosities out of Tulsa and Cleveland Curiosities, which I didn't know they existed, but next time in Cleveland I'm definitely gonna stop by there. They had a framed little bat skeleton.
Aww.
And now it's hanging up next to my door, and I see it every day, and I love it. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff there. Some of it was kind of overpriced, but it was like a blast going. Totally recommend going if you can.
Well, very cool. I'm glad you got to see some, maybe some real Shrunken Heads there. Kosai? You've been to Kosai?
Yeah.
So Kosai is a museum here in Columbus that's like a science museum, but they have a life section, and they have this wall that's got like frosted glass on it. And if you, I don't know if you've seen this, but if you go up and you press a button, the frost like disappears or polarizes or something.
Right.
And there's a
see through it.
Shrunken head back there.
Yeah. Okay.
Supposedly.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Is that real?
I don't know.
No. Okay. No one knows.
Someone probably knows.
Yeah.
Because there are like, we're going to get into how you figure out if they're real or not. There's some kind of cool tricks, but so, you know, maybe we've seen a shrunken head in real life before. Like an actual one.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's pretty cool. But with talking about if it's real or not, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
God damn it.
So
I was wondering why you were hesitating on that. I thought you lost your place and you didn't know what you were gonna say, but you knew what you were gonna say.
No, I knew what I was gonna say.
You motherfucker.
So if you want to find a shrunken head in the wild, Dorian, where are we going to be looking for these bad boys?
The Amazon, I assume?
Yeah. You can also read and tell me about it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I really always miss those cues every week. Huh?
I could probably point better.
The practice of headhunting, removing the head of an adversary after killing him in battle as a trophy of the victory, it used to be widespread over much of the world. In the Chinese state of Qin, soldiers would collect the heads of their fallen enemies and tie them around their waist to frighten their opponents during battle. The Celts of Europe practiced headhunting up through the end of the Middle Ages and would nail the heads of their enemies to city walls as a warning to others. Despite the many forms of headhunting around the world, only one group traditionally practiced the art of taking a severed human head and reducing it to the size of a fist. The Jivaro people of Ecuador and the Peruvian Amazon, specifically the Suar tribe.
Yeah. So first off, we gotta draw a pretty firm distinction here. So while headhunting has been practiced all over the world by all kinds of people, just cutting folks' heads off,
mm-hmm.
The actual shrinking is a really localized practice. And it's only really been the Suar people who have done it. The reason for that, and we're going to learn more about this as we go, is that it's tied very specifically to their religious tradition. So let's get into some of that tradition and thought behind shrunken heads. And also, real quick, the Jivaro refer to shrunken heads as Sansa. So if you hear that, then that's what we're talking about.
We haven't just gotten distracted and started talking about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
There's a T there. It's Sansa.
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 A Sansa, contrary to what it may seem, is not a trophy. A Sansa is actually a way to ensure that the spirits of opposing warriors don't return to exact revenge on the person who killed them. By shrinking the head, the Suar believed they were capturing the soul and preventing it from returning and attacking from beyond the grave.
Yeah, so we're going to do another, like, pre-Dead Boys debunking, like we did with the Vikings.
Yeah.
That image of, like, a guy in the middle of Africa with a whole necklace full of shrunken heads, that never happened.
Okay.
That's fake.
Gotcha. Closest thing, it sounds like the Celts did that with regular size heads to freak people out, but
yeah
they didn't.
Yeah, you weren't like, this wasn't like a look at how many people I've killed in battle thing.
Yeah, this was more of a trying to ward off evil spirits.
Yeah,
sort of traditional ritual sort of thing.
Yeah, it was a protection totem.
Okay.
And that's because the Suar believed in three spirits that lived within a person. First off, you had the Wakani, and that was like the personhood of a person. So like when we talk about in Western culture the idea of the soul, that's what this is. Just the part of you that makes you you, I guess.
Okay.
Second off, you had the Arutem, which is like a spirit animal. It's a guard that protects your physical body. It's almost like a guardian angel. Like, it would prevent you from dying a violent death, basically. If the Aratam didn't do its job well, you would have to deal with the Muisak.
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 Okay.
And that is the thing we're dealing with when we're talking about shrunken heads. The Muisak is an avenging spirit. It's the soul that resides in your body that only comes out if you've died a violent death and you have to have revenge exacted for you. If you killed someone in battle, then the Muisak would leave that person's body and injure you or your family, even to the point of death. So not really something you really wanted to play around with.
Right.
And the Shuar were not... They were very afraid of these things, understandably.
Yeah, they sound bad.
Yeah. Hence, the need to keep them contained by shrinking the head and, you know, basically making it impossible for the soul to escape.
Okay.
So the process of shrinking the head was deliberately done to keep this vengeful spirit from escaping and killing you, which is good.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, as you kind of think about that, what that means culturally and how you would do that if you believed that that was a thing that could happen, that's kind of how you get to note some giveaways on if a shrunken head is real or not. Because most authentic shrunken heads will have the mouth sewn shut.
Right.
Because that's where the evil spirit can escape from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So...
If it's not sewn shut...
It's definitely not real.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a rhyme we can make out of that. Like, you know, that if it's yellow, you're a dead fellow or whatever with snakes. If the mouth's sewn shut, then you're a shrunken head nut. If the mouth is open, keep on hoping.
Keep on hoping. That's good. I like that. If the mouth is open, keep on hoping.
Yep.
I'm going to go into cosine and say that. So you want to learn how the Shuar shrunk their heads?
Absolutely, I do.
Cool. Let's get into it, dog.
To start the Sansa process, the flesh is peeled away from the skull by making an incision up the back of the neck. The skull itself and its contents are discarded into a body of water, preferably a river. The warrior then sews the eyes and mouth closed with small, sharp palm pegs. At this point, the skin is put into a boiling pot and allowed to simmer for between an hour and a half to 2 hours. This allows the head to shrink without causing the hair on top to fall out.
You can't have a bald, shrunken head.
No, that'd be silly.
Looks gauche. But that was, you know, in the culture, having long hair, even for a warrior, was really respected. So you'd want to kind of have the honor in the head of being like, this person I killed was a very revered warrior. You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we are going to talk about, they do display them a little bit. It's not a trophy that you would display forever.
Right.
But there was a certain status that came from it.
You want them to look good.
Yeah, you want them to look good.
Like, they don't need to be, you know, suit and black tie sort of event, but, you know.
It's business casual.
Dress them up.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So as we go through this process, we're really going to see how calculated this whole thing was. It's not like they just threw it in like a dryer on high as it was like a little wet.
Yeah.
And let it just go. It's incredibly ritualized.
When the head is done boiling, it will have shrunk to about one-third of its original size and have a rubbery texture. The skin is turned inside out, and any flesh on the inside of the skin is scraped away. The incision at the back of the neck is then sewn back up and the skin turned right side out. The next step is the drying process. The head is turned upside down and filled with small rocks, heated by a fire. This allows it to continue shrinking. When the head gets too small for rocks, heated sand is used. Hot rocks are also applied to the outside of the head to help shape and maintain the features. It is important to the Hivero warrior to make sure that the final product resembles the person who was killed. However, even if done perfectly, the faces on shrunken heads usually have some distortion because skin shrinks at different rates, usually causing the jaws to appear to jut outwards.
Yeah, so there's no way to make a shrunken head look like a real head.
Right.
I'm sure none of the photos that you've seen have really looked.
They look weird.
Yeah.
They look freaky.
Because a lot of the time, like, the jaw will be kind of, like, stuck out like this.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of, like, pursed.
You get all over this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of the process involves kind of shaping and being very calculated. Because if you're going to be trapping a spirit, you don't want the skin to have tears or holes in it or anything like that.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose of sewing it up if it punch a hole through the cheek or something.
Yeah, it can just go, whoop.
Comes right out.
Get right out there. You don't want that. So, you know, as we're going to see in a bit too, the distortion means that the shrunken heads can be a little easy to forge sometimes.
Mm.
That's going to be very fun. I'm very excited to talk about that. But for now, let's wrap up the head shrinking process, because we're still not done yet.
The use of hot rocks and sand to shrink and shape the head lasts several days. After that, the next steps are to remove the pegs through the lips and replace them with cotton cords, rub ash into the skin, and finally hang the head over a fire to dry and harden. The whole procedure takes about a week and results in a miniature of the original head with a much darker skin tone. The warrior would then display the head until the vengeful spirit could be exorcised. After this, the sansa would typically be removed from display and discarded or stored.
Yeah. Like a lot of things that other cultures do that we kind of tend to make, you know, really exotic.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't like a huge deal to these people.
Yeah, they'd literally just throw it away when they were done.
Yeah. Because you really just had to have it to get that spirit out of there. Once the spirit's been exorcised from the head, it's not really anything anymore. It's just a bit of skin to these people.
Hmm.
And like, it still has some religious significance and a little bit of honor, but it's not like something that you would have a huge chain out of and have on display all the time.
Yeah, and not something that you feel like you need to keep.
Yeah.
That you cannot lose. It's vital that you keep it forever.
Yeah, no. Do you remember when we talked about Jeremy Bentham?
Yes.
And how the guy who had Bentham's original head was like, I forget if he wanted to preserve it or if he wanted to shrink it, but he just like fucked it up real, real bad. And it's like crispy and just kind of sits at Bentham's feet now.
Yeah, it looks real freaky. With its perfect glass eyes too.
Yeah. Ugh. And like the hair is still real, like he did the hair part good. But then fucked up everything else and it just looks all distorted and like smudgy and doughy.
Yeah. Jeremy Bentham's head. Look that up if you haven't.
Yeah, not because he's got a fake head on top. Specifically his real head, which is just kind of, I think, also sitting in the case.
Yeah, at his feet.
It's very silly. That's our lying in state episode.
So good.
Really enjoyable. But yeah, you know, shrunken heads are just another example of, you know, almost a throwaway artifact from a culture that we blew way out of proportion because white people got over there and were like,
oh, did you see the freaking shrunken head, bro? It looks so weird, dude.
That shit's wild. So once Western contact was made with the shuar in the late 1800s, of course, a black market for these things sprung up. Oh boy, it took off.
When European colonists arrived in South America, the Jivaro began to trade the shrunken heads with Europeans for guns and knives. If heads were sold, the price was normally around $8,000 today. By the 1930s, the market had been flooded with counterfeit heads made from sloths, goats, or monkeys. This deflated the price to around $400 per head. As the Peruvian government began to restrict the trade and sale of shrunken heads, the counterfeit market grew exponentially. Today, anthropologists believe around 80% of shrunken heads in museums are fake.
Isn't that kind of wild?
Yeah.
Like 80% are just not real at all.
Yeah, that's, people are capitalistic. People will find a way to like get in on that money. So totally makes sense to me. They're just, I feel bad for all the monkeys and sloths and goats that they're killing to counterfeit these things. R.I.P. You are probably all very good.
The goats are what I'm most curious about. I would love to see one of the, like a really bad goat one. It's like someone just starting out.
Yeah. And how that could possibly pass off as a human head is kind of beyond me.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem similar enough.
It's very silly. But it makes a lot of sense that the Hevero were like, oh, yeah, guns and knives, we want those. And I guess if you guys are just really into, like, these things that we've just been keeping in a basket, like, in the side of our house, yeah, we'll trade you for that, you know?
Yeah, basically, would you sell, like, your orange peels for
guns?
Would you sell those to people for guns and knives?
Absolutely, yeah.
I would do it. You want my trash? I just want,
like, a lot of dope knives. That'd be sick. Yeah, it's a really silly process, and I really do like that people are just on their grind creating fake heads to sell to, like, rubes. Because this is what happened with mummies, too. You know, people do this constantly. Like,
right.
There were a lot of those things that we read about where mummies were just, like, newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, papier-mâché.
Yeah. Exactly.
And still got sold for, like, $8,000, and some guy was like, oh, this is a great deal on this mummy. But when you look at that 80% number, it's not a great number. So what we've decided to do, the consumer, the listener, is if you run across a shrunken head in the wild, we're going to give you some tips on how to spot a fake one.
Pro tips and tricks from the pre-dead boys on how to ID a shrunken head. During the early 1900s, most counterfeit shrunken heads were produced not by the Hevero, but by forgers in Panama. Some were produced by using goat, sloth, or monkey skin fashioned into the shape of a human head. If this is the case, researchers trying to determine if a head is fake will look at the shape and detail of the ears, which are hard to duplicate. However, with some forgeries, real human heads were taken from unclaimed corpses obtained at hospitals or morgues. To tell these heads from authentic tsansa, experts look to the craftsmanship for signs. The Hevero used heavy cotton string to sew the mouth and back of the neck closed, not thin thread. On a true Hevero shrunken head, the lips also bear the marks of the wooden pins used to seal the mouth during shrinking. In general, the work on a tsansa appears much neater and cleaner when the work is done by forgers, as the Hevero did not have access to modern tools and equipment.
Yeah. So what do we got to look for here? You got to look for the ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wiggling my ear at you.
Yep, I see it. You, the listener, just imagine Max's ear.
Me just wiggling my ear.
Contemplate Max's ear for a moment.
Well, contemplate my ear. Also contemplate your own ear.
Yeah.
And now try to imagine you've got, like, a monkey's head. And monkey's ears don't look like our ears.
No.
And you have to build a replica of a human ear from monkey skin and then attach it to the monkey's head. It's really tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one of the reasons that, like, you know, when you think about a shrunken head, the hair is always super long and, like, draped over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So sometimes they thought they could get it over easy on you by having really long hair that covered the ears.
Ah.
So some shrunken heads just won't have ears.
Oh, they just chop them off. That explains how you could use goat. I was trying to imagine how you could look at a shrunken head and be like, that's definitely a human,
well,
when it's clearly got goat ears.
Well, think about a goat, too, because you would have the jaw, like, juts out a little bit more.
Yep.
So they're trying to replicate that specifically.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, when you take the skull out of a head, it is just skin, and there's stuff that holds it together, but when you think about a shrunken head, it's just kind of, it's not really the shape of how a, this is weird to say. A shrunken head is not really the shape of how your skin looks stretched over your skull.
Right.
You know? So I think that's how you can get away with doing goats or things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Some different shapes.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
The string thing is also really important.
Yeah, heavy cotton. Not, you know, some fishing line or something like that.
Well, because if you think about it, these people were, you know, they're not primitive.
But they just didn't have, like, these machined tools and the same sort of technology at their disposal.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're cutting heads off using sharpened steel, which is not great if you're just hammering it out.
Right.
Like, they're not doing, like, super well, finely done cotton netting or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, so you gotta look for that, like, heavy cotton over the mouth and the eyes. Because that's where those spirits are gonna be getting out.
That good, thick string.
That dense string. Here's another, one of my favorite things I learned about this, too. This is the thing that plagues me. And I wish that I was an animal because of this. Did you know a lot of animals don't have nose hair?
Really?
Yeah. So they were like, if you get a monkey one, the first thing you want to look at is up the nose. Because human hair, like a human severed head, or a human shrunken head, will have nose hair still.
Yeah, okay.
But the monkey ones won't have anything because they don't have nose hair.
Man, I am really jealous of that because I have some long boys that I've had to pluck out. And
yeah, you got to get trimmers.
Ugh,
that's the way to do it. I think I have a trimmer I can give you if you want. You just like share one?
Did you use it?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. That seems gross.
Just jamming it up there?
Do you wash it?
You run it under the sink, yeah.
I might buy my own, but thank you.
Yeah. It's not a huge investment. Yeah, so you know, that's how you're going to spot it in the wild. So I figured I might just try and swing by Kosai and try and figure out if theirs is real or fake or not.
Kind of makes you wonder, why do they have it behind that frosted glass and you got to push a button to look at it? Why don't you just have it in a glass case? You know, why can't I see it from a few different angles? What are you hiding, Kosai?
Well, it's in a children's museum. Kosai is specifically it's like a kid's museum.
It's not Children's Center of Science and Institute. It's just regular. It's for grown-ass folks who can handle looking at shrunken-ass heads.
They do that Kosai at night thing where you can go in and drink.
Oh, I'll go in there at night and I will put that head in my hand and take a good look up its nose. Because I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
You know what I kind of hope you discover that it is? My favorite fake shrunken head material.
What's that?
Can you guess? Guess what the goofiest shrunken head material that's ever been used is.
Is it an actual organic material? Like a head of something?
It's organic in the sense that it's carbon-based, yeah. It's not a rock.
Is it a fruit?
Holy shit, yeah.
Just using a fruit?
Yeah, what fruit?
Man, what is the most human-like fruit? Is it an orange peel? I have no idea.
No. Apples.
Apples?
Apples. So, in the 1970s, Milton Bradley must have been like a buck wild company in the 70s, because they thought it would be a good idea to release a Vincent Price themed make your own shrunken head kit.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and you would use an apple. It was like when Easy Bake ovens were super popular.
Uh-huh.
So they would take an apple and you would set it on like that tiny little light bulb that dries everything out.
Yeah.
And you would totally desiccate the apple. And then it would turn kind of brown and leathery. And then the kit had like fake eyes on it and like fake teeth. And you would jam those into the apple and then put like fake hair on it. And you'd be like, look at the shrunken head.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And there were people who saw this and then started shrinking apples and then selling them at like flea markets as shrunken heads.
They're selling dead fruit. That's so good.
But they wouldn't rot because there was no water in them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dried completely out.
It's very silly. But you could see like a couple photos of them online and they don't look good. But if you were like a kid and someone was like, hey, I got a shrunken head for you from like Ecuador.
I just imagine it has googly eyes punched into it.
And like Vincent Price is on the box for some reason.
Of course. Because it's creepy.
That's like my favorite part is that they somehow got Vincent Price to make like an Easy Bake oven for shrunken heads, and he was like, I'm not doing anything else. It's very silly.
That's so good.
So maybe we're gonna have to try one of those at some point.
We might. Well, thank you for letting me know that that's a thing that exists.
Yeah,
but also for this very, very good research that you did into shrunken heads. Very informative. Glad I know how to ID these bad boys now.
Look up the nose.
Look up the nose. Oh, shrunken heads or your friends. Just look straight up there.
And if they're not, they're a big ape. Big monkey.
They don't have nose hair. And thank you guys for listening. Hey, we love hearing from you. Any thoughts, questions, comments that you got, talk to us. We're on Twitter and Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can email us, predeadboys@gmail.com. You can also find our Facebook group by searching PreDeadBoys Podcast and come join it and talk to us.
We're very friendly.
I think we're pretty friendly. Yeah. We're nice enough.
Yeah.
Send us your good memes, too. We love memes. What, you laugh? You don't like a good meme?
Whoever posts the best meme in the Facebook group in the next, like, week or two, I don't know, I'll send you something in the mail.
I'll Venmo you a dollar.
Yeah.
I'll do it. If you want to support the podcast, there's a few ways you can do it. Tell a friend about the podcast. We don't advertise at all. This is all word of mouth. You could tip us a few bucks, help us cover some costs. Go to ko-fi.com/predeadboys. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, and we will read that on an episode. We have...
Or you leave the review on Canadian iTunes, which is a whole different world.
Yeah.
That I didn't know existed.
Yeah, so we beefed it and didn't know that we had some Canadian reviews. So thank you so much to the people, the good people of Canada, for leaving some reviews for us here.
Including, Bridget, I think that's how you say it. I don't know how you say it. From Beyond the Dash is Canadian.
Oh. Did she leave us a review?
I don't know. But she's Canadian and was very kind and quoted me in an article.
Yeah, I was going to make a little announcement about that.
Okay, but, we'll deal with that when you get there.
We'll get to that. Two reviews. First one. This one's from Ginny Powful and says, 5 stars. This Deathling approves.
Aw.
Mix in some history with some death culture and positivity, along with some hatred of stamps.com, and you can...
Oh, I forgot about that.
And you have one amazing podcast. Keep up the work, boys. Thank you, Ginny Powell.
Thank you, Ginny.
Very nice of you. We got another one from Osuri, which is a very Canadian username. They say, good stuff. I really like the part where you talk about seltzer, but the rest is pretty great, too.
The seltzer part is usually my favorite part, too, because there's the anticipation. Like, the can's next to me, and I can't open it.
Yeah.
And then I open it, and I'm happy.
That is about the time that my lips start getting dry from speaking into a microphone, so...
It's like 3 minutes?
Yes. I'm very weak. Don't judge me. Anyway, we got some American reviews, too. This one is from WTF is Roach Coach. And the title is A Blessing for Fellow Death Nerds.
Aww.
Listening to Pre-Dead Boys is the only thing that gets me through the workday. The combination of morbid topics with the wacky humor makes for such a good podcast. If I thought I was full of death information before, well, watch out, world. I'm coming for your cryogenically frozen heads with all sorts of info. Also, I blame you both for my newfound seltzer water addiction. Thank you, WTF is Roach Coach. Very sweet words.
Yeah, thanks for that. Sorry that we've got you hooked.
We've poisoned your mind. Poisoned your mind with death knowledge and seltzer addiction.
A lot of seltzer reviews. I like this.
Yeah, well, it's our fault for literally drinking it every single time
we record. Episode.
We also, our last review here is from Bravo Taco. Great podcast. Two very knowledgeable guys with a sense of humor. You make this very heavy topic very fun to talk about. Thank you. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. It appears to be a Finding Nemo reference.
I like fish. I do like fish.
You do like fish?
Yeah.
I thought... Well, yeah, because no, you I had like that fish. Whole thing about how you're going to buy an aquarium. It's just the ocean that you hate.
Yeah, I don't like the ocean. The idea of the ocean is scary, but fish are cool.
You don't like the ocean?
No.
You do like fish?
Yeah.
You know that fish die without the ocean, right? You know that...
Well, like lakes.
Do you like lakes?
No, lakes are even worse, I think.
You don't like water.
Because lakes are more contained, you know?
Yeah.
So the fish can't go anywhere else?
Yeah, they're trapped and start to go stir crazy, so they're really
They're
vicious.
Real riled up. They're really randy. That's where those fish that get up your hoo-hoo go.
Like your Amazon. Hoo-hoo. Yeah, the candiru.
Candiru, yeah.
Which I've heard that might be a myth. There's no documented cases of that happening.
I swear to God I thought I saw that on TLC or something like that.
I don't know. We'll have to do
The Learning Channel. Damn it.
Maybe we'll have to do an episode on have people had the hoo-hoo fish climb up them and kill them. Anyway, thank you all for all of the sweet words that you said to us. Thank you for leaving reviews. Thank you for sending in questions.
It's so nice.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you for sending us money. We feel super supported, and it is amazing. Also want to thank everyone who voted for us in the Columbus Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
So voting closed, and they have not released the results to us. It sounds like they're going to do that at the actual ceremony. So we'll find out how we did. The ceremony, if you're here in Columbus, it is August 25th at Gateway Film Center, and it's free. You just have to go to columbuspodcastawards.com and, you know, sign up for a ticket, and they'll let you in. But yeah, come
yeah,
hang
out. Yeah,
it's going
to be dope.
Come hang out with us.
I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah, you'll buy them a drink?
Yeah, I'll do it.
You'll buy anyone a drink? You heard it here first. Max promises to buy you a drink.
If you come in our name,
yeah,
I will
if
buy
you come in and ask Max for a drink, I guess he'll buy you a drink.
I'll do it.
Yeah, whatever. You're obligated now. I want to see like 50 people come in. I would love that.
Is it Matt who has been staying on us from the beginning is coming back to Columbus, right?
Who
pissed my mom off?
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he'll be at the awards and give your mom an apology. But man, I'm stoked for that. I love that dude. Anyway, we'll see what happens. It should be a good time hanging out there, but we can't thank you enough for voting for us. Just people showed the fuck up and voted in droves. And
yeah,
I saw that being
like
shared
it
on social media and stuff. So we really appreciate it. Whether we win or not, it means the world to us that...
Yeah, it was very fun.
We just have so many people who are supportive of what we do. We really appreciate y'all.
Yeah, come bankrupt me.
Yes. Speaking of you were mentioned in an article recently.
I was.
Yes. Our friends at Beyond the Dash, which is a website that I believe that they're a service that writes obituaries, amongst other things, right?
Yeah, and they host them too. They basically want to make obituaries accessible.
Yeah, but they also have an amazing blog that has all kinds of interesting information about various death topics. They actually got in touch with us and shared an article that they just posted about sky burials. And it was like, oh, okay, a friendship is born here. We love Beyond the Dash.
I didn't even see that. That's sick.
Yeah,
very.
It was
cool.
Really cool. But yeah, they had a recent article about, was it Southern traditions in Southern?
Yeah, funeral traditions in the Southern United States.
Yeah, but our good boy here, Max McKenna, was quoted in that article.
Yeah, Bridget was very sweet and sent me some of the research and was like, "What do you think about this?" And then I like hemmed and hawed for like 4 days, and typed a bunch.
Thank
but it
you
was
for
very
not,
cool, yeah.
Thank you for not shrugging your shoulders and being like, I don't know.
I don't know, I'm dumb.
They had something to work with there. It
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it was very cool, and we're very appreciative, and y'all should go check them out. They're a very cool service.
Yeah, go check out beyondthedash.com and poke around their very cool website.
Yeah.
Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Bratcurse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us.
You're really popping your fingers off over there. Are you going to shrink them down?
Popping. Can you shrink fingers? I don't think I want to shrink fingers. I already have kind of dainty little artist fingers.
Okay.
They're...
Wimp fingers.
No, they're strong, but slender.
Okay.
They're kind of deceptively strong.
Okay.
Like Bruce Lee. He looked scrawny, but he was...
No, life. You have life fingers.
I have life. Speedy fingers. You better look out. Coming for you. What a fucking weird way to end an episode. Max and Dorian here, reminding you, you're gonna rock.
This wasn't, like, a huge deal to these people.
Yeah, they'd literally just throw it away when they were done.
Yeah, because you really just had to have it to get that spirit out of there.
Sounds like you're getting a little
getting
bit
of spirit
out
of here
right
now.
Jesus.
I had that float.